SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170. The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SD Motorsports, brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. Go to ElCajonFord.com for all their specials and deals. And check out Quick Lane, great service center. They'll work on any car in your garage. That's right. Yeah, I know it's a Ford store, but everybody's trained. And if you've got a Chevy, Ford, Toyota, Mazda, Isuzu, hey, they'll work on it for you. Just go to ElCajonFord.com. Check them out. Well, we got the traveler in the house today, I commonly known as Norm DeWitt. How you doing, bud?
Doing fantastic. Good to be home.
So you've been here, there, and everywhere. You've been covering, what, Le Mans?
Yeah, I was at Le Mans. I was at the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
MotoGP, World Superbike.
Wow.
Then I was just in Austin for the 6 hours for the Le Mans cars. And this next weekend is the United States Grand Prix.
At Austin.
At Circuit of the Americas.
But you had some good news because everybody was nervous that the Circuits of America may be folding due to lack of financing between the states. And then there was an argument as to who should pay what. But as you mentioned, it seems like they're on the calendar for 2017, and that's all we know.
Yes, and it doesn't have that little provisional asterisk next to the United States Grand Prix like it did last year. So that's probably a very good sign that it shows that it's probably more than a one-year deal for 2016.
Right.
So I think we can hopefully count on having a United States Grand Prix both next week and a year from now.
Let's hope. Because the U.S. could sure use a Grand Prix. I mean, they're all over the world. And we got to have one in the U.S.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And now that the Mexican Grand Prix has been an enormous success, they just added another 10,000 grandstand seats there.
Are the Mexicans not race fans, or is it just me?
Well, I think that, you know, it doesn't hurt that circuit is in Mexico City,
right,
which has got a population something akin to, I don't know, 7 million people or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely an enthusiastic base, and there's two Formula One drivers right now from Mexico.
Right. Which now, is this a purpose-built track?
It's the old Rodriguez brothers circuit, where Ricardo Rodriguez was killed back in, 1962,
yeah,
I think
62,
it was.
I think, yeah.
And you know, Ricardo and Pedro Rodriguez, and so the circuit's named after them, and they had a lot of great Formula One races up until 1970, when everybody jumped over the fences and sat alongside the track, and Jackie Stewart hit a dog with his Tyrrell. And so they didn't go back for a number of years after that, but it was some amazing races when they did come back with Nigel Mansell against Senna and people like that.
Did they have to do anything to the track to refurbish it? Because I know it sat for a while.
Well, currently it's completely changed. The old Peraltada, really fast sweeping corner that was the last corner leading onto the pit straight.
Yeah.
That is now a stadium section.
Oh.
And it's just kind of squiggly around where there's a lot of seating. I don't know if it's used for baseball or what the rest of the year, but it's completely changed the character of that part of the circuit.
So it'll be a tad of a challenge, I'm sure.
I think most of the rest of the circuit is largely unchanged from the good old days. So,
hey, let's talk a little bit about Le Mans. You had one of the luckiest opportunities to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Not for Toyota.
You know, last year in 2015, I had been out on the pit wall and got the shot of the two Porsches coming across right next to their crew were hanging over the pit wall. And it's a reflective pit wall at Le Mans. So if you get your camera in the right place, you can get the reflection of everybody hanging over the pit wall, waving to the cars. Well, this year, Toyota looked like they were finally going to win Le Mans after decades of trying.
Yeah.
And coming into the last lap, the car rolled to a stop right in front of me.
God.
Just after start finish. And
after start finish.
Just after start finish.
Which is important to remember.
Yes, because then you've started your last lap and you have to finish your last lap within 6 minutes or you're no longer classified. And the poor guy was frantically going through every sequence he could with all the controls in the car, listening to the engineers, trying to get the thing to start and run again. And the car ended up taking a couple of minutes too long. And so it was unclassified. It went from literally hero to zero in that one lap. With 3 minutes to go, the car failed, and it stopped right in front of me.
Wow.
And, you know, on an eight-mile circuit, it's pretty unusual to have the story of the year drop in your lap.
Wow. So you don't run into that too often. And then of course, you know, Ford GT, you know, they won last year, and I thought they were going to pull the plug, but I had an opportunity to interview Henry Ford III. And he said, oh, no, we are definitely committed. We're coming back to Le Mans.
Oh, yeah, this year was the first year back to Le Mans.
Yeah, and, well, there was had been some grumblings, you know, that they won, you know, 50 years out. They won it same day, yada, yada. And they were talking about that they were not going to continue.
Well, they've signed a continuance through 2019, I believe. Yeah.
But the old rivalry, Ferrari and Ford, was at it again.
It was amazing, and perhaps the greatest part of it that seems to have escaped a lot of the coverage was that it came down to the Ricci Ferrari team out of Houston versus the might of the Ford factory. And Ricci Ferrari, I think in the end, once all the protest dust had settled, had lost the 24 Hours of Le Mans by 10 seconds. And so, but the podium was two Ford GT teams, or two of the Ford GTs and one American Ferrari team.
All on the same
podium.
So
it was
podium.
An all-American podium, and I don't know if that's ever happened before at Le Mans.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Because in 66, when the Fords finished 1, 2, 3, I don't think they actually had a podium. They just had the winner up there getting the awards. But it was an all-American podium in GT with all-American flags and Edsel Ford up there. And
he had to be happy as a clam.
I sent him pictures, and he was very happy to have those pictures.
I'm sure he was. So, God, that had to be just – and then, like you said, that's a bucket list that you got to – if you're a gearhead – some way, somehow, you got to get to Le Mans.
There are a handful of events in the world of motorsports.
And that's
and
one of them.
The 24 Hours of Le Mans has got to be right near the top. I know that I would put it right there with the Isle of Man TT and the Indianapolis 500.
And that'd be my top. I can't think of anything. I mean, there's a lot of tracks out there that are competitive and challenging, but those three right there. And I've not done Isle of Man. That's another one.
Spa's not half bad.
Yeah, well, Spa's not half bad either. Yeah, Nürburgring is not too shabby either. Let me just keep continuing on. But the sad thing, it's all Europe.
Well, a lot of it is. Here we have Road America, which is one of the truly great circuits. And as Bobby Rahal pointed out to me once, he says it's completely unchanged in terms of its layout since it was first created in 1955.
Isn't that amazing?
I can't. And he says, can you think of another circuit in the United States that you could say that about? That hasn't been messed with.
Yeah.
And I exclude ovals from that.
Yeah.
Just because how are you going to mess with an oval?
Yeah. You know? What about Watkins Glen?
Well, you rarely, they made a lot of changes in the S's, I believe, back in the 70s.
Yeah. Probably to
And they put the chicane in before that.
Oh, that's silly.
Because of that horrible wreck that happened to Tommy Kendall almost lost his life there. And then I guess because he didn't lose his life there, they didn't make any changes. And then the next race was a NASCAR race, and it killed one of the NASCAR drivers in the same exact place.
Guess we better make a change.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's not funny at all, but it's amazingly sad to me that it takes an actual somebody getting killed as opposed to being maimed for life to get
somebody's
attention.
I know. It's just totally crazy. Well, motorsports is truly alive and well. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So if people think that it's on the ragged edge, it's not. There's still major manufacturers and major sponsors coming in, throwing money left and right.
Make no mistake, there's a lot of challenges right now.
Oh, yes. Without a shadow of a doubt, because everybody's trying to get a piece of the pie.
Well, you just look at the number of people in the stands at some of these events. I mean, yes, the Indianapolis 500, the 100th running, it was the first time in its history in 100 runnings. It was completely sold out.
Wow.
I actually took a picture of where the credential desk is at the corner over by, I guess it's turn one, on the outside of turn one.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had a big sign there. It said the Indianapolis 500 is completely sold out.
Wow.
In case you were going there thinking you could buy tickets a couple days before the event.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, that's you know, crazier things happen. All right, hey, we're going to go ahead and take a small break. We're going to have a duo calling in, Brittany and Dirt Dude. Brittany took her little dwarf car and went north, and Dirt Dude's going to talk about the first time the Barona Circle Track is going to do a figure eight, if you can believe that. So we'll take our small break, and hopefully those two guys will call in. If not, we'll just keep talking to Norm, because he's come out with a... Have you come out with a book yet?
No, I'm doing a sequel to Making It Faster. Okay. I've been working with a lot of the same people, Mario Andretti, Bobby Unser.
Right.
It's just Al Unser and Al Unser Jr. have helped me a lot. Jackie Stewart.
Cool.
And
got to go hang out with all the who's who.
Well, I get
and
to
find... And they all
find,
know how to go fast.
I get to find out, how did you guys figure this out, and what really happened with these cars in that effort, you know, and... that's an amazing privilege for me, and get to figure it out and then put it into words.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a small break, and we come back more right here on SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
Look no further. We have the answer. AM 1170, the answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports. This segment's brought to you by Barona Circle Track. If you've never been to Barona, you missed out. We've got Dirt Dude on the line. In fact, Brittany Sandoval is calling in as well. She was traveling yesterday trying to find a racetrack to race on. But let's go ahead, put your headphones on, son, and let's bring Dirt Dude on. And Dirt Dude, tell us about this crazy race you got coming up next week.
So we were dark this weekend. Next weekend, we're doing the big end-of-the-year kind of like fantastic blowout race. First annual, our first time we've ever done a figure eight race. And we're featuring two different classes.
Hey, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot.
500 to win.
Yeah, that's
coming. And then we have a pure stock class, or a pro, or an unlimited class. And that's 750 to win. And that's just the cash that we have right now, and they're talking there's going to be some more prizes.
Wow.
There's going to be some gift cards. Like, I think there's a $300 gift card for the open comp, and then another $200 or $250 gift card for the pure stock. Plus, we're running our normal race. So, gates open at 5, still normal $10 to get in. It's just the last race of the season that we're going to have.
Wow, that sounds like that's just going to be crazy. What kind of a car count are you seeing so far?
Right now, we're looking at 10 to 12 in the unlimited class, and then about 12 to 15 in our pure stock class.
Wow, that's going to be quite the show for sure. Now, this is going to be a figure eight, and it's in the center of the track?
Yeah, we did a little test sample last race and just roughly cut out a figure eight in the track to get an idea what it's going to be like. And so this... They're taking her this weekend, and bringing up a dozer and a blade and some more equipment. They're going to actually cut a nice figure eight in the track.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to go through the center. We took out the center of the track, which had our small kids track in it.
Yeah, didn't it have some kind of a hump or a hill or something in the middle of it?
Yeah, kind of. But the kids track kind of is a highly banked track for the kids.
Right.
So we're just going to cut that down.
I got you.
We're going to stockpile the dirt to the outside of the figure eight area, use that as a safety berm, and then just make the track right through the center.
Sure. No, that'll be huge. Yeah, that's that's going to be... Is there any limitation on these cars? I mean, are they all... I mean, do they have limitations, or is it run what you brung?
The open comp is pretty much run what you brung. So, I mean, I hear guys are going to be out there with, like, dirt mods, you know, street mods, you know, asphalt cars, the professional ones, and the pure stock is just that. They must follow pure stock rules. They must be pure stock.
That's crazy. Hey, we got Brittany Sandoval. She's on the road, so hopefully we'll be able to pick her up, and she can give us a little update on how her day went yesterday. This is the lady that went looking for a racetrack. How you doing, Britt?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Did you find your racetrack?
We did. It was quite an adventure. I'm actually sitting in the back of a Dodge Ram heading home.
Good. Do you have the trophy sitting right next to you?
Well, I could have earned one this time. Absolutely. They just weren't giving them out this time. I had my best finish ever. I actually made the podium spot.
Wow. Where did you race? Where'd you go race?
Oh, you went the short story?
Sure.
I'll try to abbreviate it. So we originally were headed to Santa Maria.
Right.
And I'm with another driver. The driver of the Dodge Ram is also a dwarf driver.
Wow. Well, tell him to keep his eyes on the wheel. We'll talk to him later.
Keep your eyes on the wheel, Bob.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we're checking in to make sure his eyes are still open because he picked us up. He and his lovely wife picked us up at 7 yesterday morning, and our plan from San Diego was to get to Santa Maria.
Right.
When we got to Santa Barbara, we got the call that it was canceled. Because of rain. So I hit up Darren Brent, another one of the drivers. He's the builder of the B&Bs. And within a minute, he said, they're racing at Ventura. So we stopped and had lunch in Santa Barbara and tried to put wrap our brains around it. And we raced Ventura last night.
Was that your first time? Was that your first time at Ventura?
Absolutely. It was my first time other than Verona.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, it's cool because another driver, Ryan, number 91, he was right behind us, and he goes, I'll do Ventura. So we all ended up at Ventura, and he described it as a paperclip. It's so a small paperclip, tight turn, really short track, smaller than Verona. So that was interesting, getting used to those turns in our hot lap, or they called it qualify.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what position, second or third?
I ended up third place. Ryan actually got second. He ran from the very back. He was leading the whole time. He got sent to the back. And then within just a few laps was able to pass everybody except for first. He got second. I got third. Josh Cochran got fifth. And Bob got ninth. So before Verona, we were all in the top ten.
Wow, how cool is that? He must have been he must have been really angry to come from last to second.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. There were only just maybe two or three laps left, and I'm holding second. I'd never been in second, let alone third. I was holding second, and I get this bump, and I'm like, what's that all about? Oh, that's Ryan. How the hell did he do that? He raged from the back to the front in a handful of laps.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that on video.
I bet. So is that going to be another track you may go back and visit?
Possibly. Well, here's what we did. We had our hotel paid for in Santa Maria. So after racing, we still took the trek up to Santa Maria, stayed the night there, woke up this morning and drove over to that track. That was like an awesome track.
No,
bigger than Verona, wide turn. It looks gorgeous. We're definitely going to go back to that one.
Then that's Santa Maria?
Yeah, the Santa Maria Raceway. And a lot of the Verona drivers have been up there and said it's a blast. So Bob and I want to experience that for ourselves. The driver. Are your eyes open, Bob?
He's driving, isn't he?
Yeah. But he raced all day yesterday. He drove us up there, raced all day, got the same amount of sleep as I did, and I can barely keep my eyes open.
Jeez. So, hey, talk about your sponsors that got you there.
Man, Amsoil, thank you so much. My engine is running great. Sprung Monkey, thank you. My in-ears are awesome. Out in Alpine, Bullseye, thank you so much for what you've done for me, Alpine Motorsports. And San Diego Barnes and Steel Buildings, I finally made the podium with your big old sticker on my car.
All right. Well, hey, so what's coming? Are you going to get in the figure eight race?
That's not for dwarf cars. We wreck enough. Are you kidding?
No, just go down and...
We do figure eights.
Just go rent a car from Enterprise. No one's going to know.
He says rent a car from Enterprise, and I'll get the insurance. Under your name.
There you go. I don't care. Get the insurance. It's Bob Stahl. Remember, Bob Stahl.
He says it's Bob Stahl.
Yeah, just don't forget it.
Okay, Dave.
All right. So you a dirt dude coming in next week?
Yeah, that sounds fun. He'll have a ton of stories from next week. The figure eight ought to be a blast to watch.
Are you going to go out and watch it?
I think so. Yeah, I want to help fill those stands out there in Verona.
Me too.
Track open.
Yeah, I hear you, girl. I just came back from, I was at Paris last night. And it was a sprint car race, and I actually went up there to see a driver. His name is Jeremy. I can't remember his last name, and he had crashed a couple of weeks ago, and his helmet came through the roll cage came down on him, and he literally drug his helmet down the side of the K rail.
Oh
And he's got two little boys that both have had heart transplants.
Oh, my. That's a lot on his plate.
Yeah, so he auctioned off his helmet and gave all the money to the kids, you know, the foundation that's helped his two children. And that crazy guy was in a car last night.
Well, yeah, race car drivers were a little different.
Jesus.
That's awesome for him. Talk about getting back on the horse.
Oh, my God. Well, and Damian Gardner got flipped upside down last night, caved in the roll cage. He's screaming and yelling and hollering. They got him to roll it back up on all four wheels. And
get going.
And he won.
Oh, my. That's good stuff.
Well, Damian, yeah, he's pretty crazy and pretty wild. All right. Well, hey, Dirt Dude, give us another rundown on next weekend.
Next week in the 22nd, and figure eight race. Once again, gates open at 5, and we start racing at 5, National Anthem. $10 to get in, bring your own food and drink. We have an awesome concession stand. Check us out on the web, brotherspeedway.com. Check us out on Facebook, and follow Brittany.
All right, Brittany. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Just keep smacking Bob in the back of the head, and you'll be golden.
Hey, okay.
All right, kiddo. You take care. Hey, what's the number on your car so people can look for you?
37, the great 37.
All right. All right, you take
care. 3757, represent.
There you go. Go get him, Tiger.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. So, you know, Dirt Dude, now that's going to be your last race next Saturday, right? Is there anything else in the wings?
No, not until our schedule starts up again next year.
Okay.
I know Paris has got things going on. There's other winter series going on. Paris is doing a winter series. Kokopo's doing a winter series. We're talking about just trying to do some prep work, some off-season work to the track,
right.
And you know, try and find some stuff we might run next year during winter, but right now we're going to take this winter off and do some stuff to the track.
Well, what we ought to do is pick a Saturday and do that. You know, I've been talking to a couple of different television stations, and they like the idea of having a race, you know, somebody from each station to come out there with a pure stock, you know, and just have a specialty Saturday night race. And if all the TV stations, you know, will get all excited and promote it, might be something to do.
Yeah, that'd be a great thing. I mean, you need to get people interested in racing here in San Diego County. The best way is by getting the media interested
in
it, and then they talk about it, and then it just goes from there.
Well, I'm going to be out to your track next Saturday, so mark me down, and maybe I'll get a hold of Judy and we'll chat, and maybe we can come up with something. I actually put something down hardcore.
Okay, sounds good, man.
All right, buddy. Hey, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
All right, see you.
All right, buddy. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break, and we come back. We've got Paris Auto Speedway. And we got my old buddy, Justin Garcia, on the line. Justin is 6'7" and races a competition dirt go-kart. You're not going to want to miss this one. Stay tuned.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsport. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. I was there last night. Wow, it was great, great racing. But there's still plenty of opportunities, and you need to take a run out there. ParisAutoSpeedway.com, ParisAutoSpeedway.com. All right, we got my good buddy Justin on the line, Justin Garcia. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Safe?
I'm just doing fine. How's the career going?
It's going good. Since I last talked to you, we had ran a few races. We finished second in City of Industry. Had one of our races actually canceled because of the fires up there in Victorville.
Oh, yeah.
Our next, which is a little disappointing because the next race I had a previous engagement I had to take care of, so I missed that one. But we're going to be back next weekend back at Paris Auto Speedway, and this is one of the races on schedule that I always circle every year because it's the road course on dirt.
I love road coursing. I like that way better than oval.
Which it brings me back to all those years when I was driving on pavement running road courses. So this one's one of the ones I get excited for.
Now, is this going to be on the actual Paris racetrack or is it the track north?
No, it's actually on the Parasol Speedway. Okay. Coach normally just like he does when we run the oval there, he'll cut a track for us on the infield.
Right.
So we'll actually pit on the main track and race on the infield.
That's going to be such a hoot. That'll be so cool. So that's excellent. So you're all got the car all set up, ready to go?
Yeah, we spent a good portion of the morning just finishing up last minute touches on it. Only thing left I have to do is put some decals on it. This race, because it's our only race that we're running in the month of October, and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're trying to get everyone to come to the pass wearing pink. So we got to put a few pink decals on the cart, put a couple on my helmet.
Yep.
And if we see how many people we can get out there. Hopefully we can get everyone who attends nothing but pink.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that'd be a great idea. So are you in any kind of a series with your cart?
Yeah, I'm running with the SoCal Oval Sprinters.
Okay.
Or Oval Carters, sorry. And actually, currently, right now, I'm sitting. It looks like I'm going to be locked in for third for the season.
No kidding, you podiumed. How cool is that?
Yeah, unless something catastrophic happens, it doesn't look like mathematically I can move up. I can get close, but I don't think I can get up to second. And I'm got a pretty good hold on third, so it's all looking right. Pretty promising for third.
Yeah, and is this your full season?
Second season with them.
Oh, okay.
Second on dirt.
Yeah, so that's pretty stout. I mean, let's face it. What are you, 6'7"? Weigh about 250.
Are you? You're shorting me a few, Dave. 7'1", 280.
7'1", 280. I thought you were over 7. I go, no, he can't be over 7. He'd be playing basketball. He wouldn't be riding in a dirt car. By the way, Norm DeWitt is sitting next to me, and Norm has got a look on his face like I just scared him half to death. You can talk if you like.
I thought Chris Kneifel was tall at 6'6".
Yeah, this boy is 7'1". And I'm telling you, though, I mean, you know, but the cart, you didn't have to do – I mean, you just extended what, the pedals?
Yeah, we put that 6-inch extension on the front porch just to give me a little bit more leg room.
Right.
And we raised up, we molded in a little bit of extension seat to fit my torso a little bit better, so it fits me like on a normal size guy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's exactly the same as if anyone bought one off the factory line.
Right. And you do not have to add weight, correct?
I've never come in underweight in my life. And if I do, please call an ambulance.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that the truth? Well, that's kind of a benefit in one respect, unless you're so far over the limit. How high are you over the minimum weight?
Minimum weight, I'm about, on average, I'm about 150 over.
Wow, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. So you have to make up for it with driving and mechanicals.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, on dirt, I get a lot more advantage than I did on pavement because we pretty much run like almost the same setup like we would for a road course on pavement. We'd run our rain setup, which on rain with extra weight gives me a little bit more side bite. So sliding in the turn, I can dig into it a little bit. Still a handicap on the horsepower to rate ratio, but yeah, the handling it helps a little.
Yeah, well, you get him in the turn, especially if you're, I mean, especially with a road course, that's probably more closer to your liking than an oval.
Yeah, it's a real familiar feeling on getting back to the road course, but you still have the change, it's just the track changes every lap. It seems like it changes quicker on road courses than it does on an oval.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I tell you. But that's so, of course, you don't, I mean, there's no way to practice because that track's not even there yet. So you just have, I mean, yeah. But you're all in the same boat. Every driver's got the same challenge, and that's whatever that track is going to look like when they get done with it.
Yeah. Normally, Coach will cut it Wednesday or Thursday, and he'll post a picture as he's doing it, and that will be our first look at it, and we won't get a drive it until Saturday morning.
Right. And I was talking to Scott Delosio, and he says, when you guys come in, you're turnkey. You guys do everything. I think you tech your own stuff. You do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 100% us. Coach does a great job of taking care of the track for us. Scott calls a great race like he does every time he's on the mic.
Oh, God, he's crazy.
But other than that, it's the – the SoCal guys put on a great show.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah, we'll have to get them all back to KUSI again, maybe after the season's over. Maybe bring all you guys in. This will be another opportunity for you to let the San Diego fans know that you took a third place this year.
Yeah, I'd love to be down there.
Yeah, we can get first, second, and third. I don't have any problem with that. You know, get them to come down, bring their carts, and, you know, maybe find some B-roll, maybe even run some B-roll while we're out there chatting. But, yeah. And by the way, folks, this guy's got the greatest family in the world supporting him. I mean, the whole family is right there with you from, you know, beginning to end. And that's got to really make you feel good.
Yeah, that's a huge support factor. Knowing that I have my family behind me, Callie, the kids, my dad's turning wrenches for me, had since I started driving. It's just like that feeling back in the back of your head, knowing that good or bad race, you got someone behind you.
Yeah. I know the feeling. I used to race karts when I was a kid, and I really didn't have anybody with me. It was just me. And I know what that feeling, you know, because when somebody did show up, a family member, and if I did well, yeah, it's just a totally different feeling. So, yeah, give that big family a hug when you get off air, for sure, brother.
I will, for sure.
Speaking of which, who else helps you get to the track? Who are some of your major sponsors?
My aunt, uncle back in Mississippi, they've been a huge help. I wish I could get them out here for every race, but there's a long drive to get them to the track. But they can only come out for one or two races a year. But they're a huge support. Terry Nash at Hyper Race Engines. And when I was driving the road tax on payment, he built me a great motor, and the four stroke, and if he can pull me around at my weight, he's the guy to go to for a motor.
Yeah, no kidding.
Those are the guys who helped me the most. My dad's good friend, has a manufacturing shop, does all my welding for me. Every time I break something, which with me behind the wheel isn't enough to keep him in business.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's either pedal down or go home, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I told.
A few times I made him cringe with the checkers or wreckers.
Well, look at it this way. Tell him it could have been a sprint car. It could have been an Indy car. Exactly. It could have been a NASCAR. When you wad those up, that's multiple zeros compared to the cart.
I tell him we're going the cheap way now. Wait until I get into the stock car.
Is that your goal?
Yeah, I think it doesn't. This year we didn't run the. We had a few scheduled races. We missed for the full season. So we think we're going to do one more and then look into getting the stock car.
No kid. Then what are you going to do with your cart?
Oh, that one's still going to be racing on off weekend.
I was hoping
you'd give that one up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope you don't give that thing up. Yeah, I got to come. You know, you really intrigued me with the road course, because that's what I did when I carted on asphalt. I mean, everything was road courses back then. You know, so, you know, when I heard you guys are going to run a road course in the dirt, I'm thinking, that's not good. Because if I do that, then I will end up with another go-kart in the garage. I guarantee it. Because the ovals is one of the reasons it's kept me out of it. You know, because, I mean, I know it's fun and everything, but for me, a go-kart is a road course car. That's the way I always looked at it.
Yeah. And a lot of guys race with a purpose-built oval car. Mm-hmm. Mine's still a sprint chassis. So it was made to turn right and left.
Ah, good. So that might be a little bit of your edge over the other guys, too. Well, you will be this weekend for sure.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping on.
Well, if anybody can do it, I know you can definitely do it. All right. Well, hey, what's the number on your cart in case people, I mean, like they can't see a 7'1" guy in a go-kart, but I mean, what's the number on your car?
44.
44. Any significance to that?
That's the number I've been running back when I was playing ball. That was the first jersey I ran. I wore, had it all through high school.
Yeah.
Mainly they gave me that one because it was the only one we had in a varsity and a JV jersey. And then when I had the option to change it, Jerry West kept me in 44. So I've been wearing it every year. All except for when I was at Northern Arizona for those 2 years, 44 was retired. But other than that, I've always had 44 on my back.
I'll be darned. That is funny.
I was waiting for him to say it was for Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, well, that could happen. Stranger things.
I would like to say he copied me, but I don't think anyone will buy that story.
No. It's a good try though. You know, it really was a good try. I don't have any problem with that. All right. Well, hey, buddy, I really want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday. You're either driving or working on your car, I can tell. So I will let you enjoy the rest of your day, and after the season, let's get them SoCal guys together, come to KUSI, and you know, do a nice end of the year send off. What do you think?
That sounds great. I'll talk to them next weekend. Let them know that we want to get them down there and see what we can make happen.
The invitation is open. All right, buddy. Hey, you take care, and rubber side down, shiny side up.
All right. Talk to you later, Dave.
All right. You take care. All right. Hey, when we come back, we got my good buddy Norm DeWitts in the house, and we've got a whole bunch more motorsports to chat about because this guy goes everywhere. I think he's on the A-list for everybody but E. But other than that, that's we can't worry too much about that. So let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, more SD Motorsports. KCBQ AM 1170, we are the answer.
Need more fodder while arguing with your liberal friends? We've got you covered. AM 1170, the answer.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Certified Car Care or Car Clinic is a sponsor of this show. They're located 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Just go to certifiedcarcare.net, certifiedcarcare.net. All right. Well, hey, I've got my good buddy Norm DeWitts in the house. He's been going here, there, and everywhere, and most of us think the racing season's coming to an end, and I think for Norm, he's right in the middle of it. Because you've got just a ton of stuff. But what would you like to chat about for the last 15? Anything in particular?
Well, it's been kind of an interesting last couple of weeks because they had the MPG Motor Press Guild track days at Willow Springs. So I went there and got to test a lot of the latest high-performance cars, mm-hmm. not race cars per se, but street cars and mostly high-performance ones like the Alfa Romeo, the 350 GTR, mm-hmm. Which is a fabulous car, the new Ford Mustang.
Let me tell you a couple little things about that car. What they did when they built that thing, they went full race. You know, normally on a brake caliper system, you know, the calipers come in from the left to the right or the right to the left, you know. Ford comes from underneath to keep the caliper from no pad dancing, none of that. If you look at the underbody of the car where the plastic underbelly is, there's concaved areas where air is directed to the brakes. I mean, they took this car, and they've just, you know, they bought it from Delphi, you know, the GM magnetic ride, you know, that GM's always had such...
The dampers, yes.
They've always had such good luck with that. Well, that's also on that Mustang.
It's a phenomenal car. What I can say is that it really was the car, I guess, best to be described as not having any vices. So there's really... Mm-hmm. It normally, when you drive a car, you say, well, geez, this thing needs more brakes, or wow, this thing's not like a... You know, say, for example, like the Challenger mm-hmm. Hellcat in particular, you know, it's a lot of motor and not a lot of chassis. And there's nothing like that applies to this Ford GT350R.
Well, I got to tell you, there was a time where as far as those, you know, the Camaro, the Challenger and the Mustang, it was Camaro, Mustang and Challenger. Okay. After going to Buttonwillow and flogging the three. So now the Mustang's first, the Camaro's second, and the Challenger's still going to be third because she's so heavy. It's the only reason it's got 700 horsepower to haul that tank around. You know, if they would knock some weight off of it and do some fun stuff with it, yeah, then I think it would be more competitive with the Chevy and the Camaro. But I'm not a Ford guy per se, but I fell in love with that Mustang.
I drove a pretty phenomenal Camaro there. I think it was 2 years ago. I'm shooting from memory. I think it was called the LZ1.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a supercharged 427 mm-hmm. with a six-speed manual. And that was another example of a really good car that was very well balanced.
Right.
Really didn't seem to have anything that was seriously lacking, just incredibly high limits and worked in every way.
Right.
And we're just lucky to have such cars. Because look at the muscle car era of the 60s here in the United States. Yeah, they had an awful lot of horsepower and absolutely nothing in terms of brakes and chassis.
No.
So these are phenomenal cars that we can drive.
Did you get a chance to drive the new Toyota 86, which is the Scion FRS out at Willow?
No.
Oh, man, you have to get your hands on one of those. Now, it's not overly, you know, horsepowered. It's only got a 2 liter. It's normally aspirated, no turbo, no supercharger, but the car is designed, if you want to mount a roll cage in that car, it fits. TRD roll cage bolts right in. Lay the back seats down. You can put 4 race seats in the back. So, I mean, they really did their homework on that particular car.
Last year, they had one of those Lexus, I think it's, I want to say an F or something like that.
Oh, the F Sports.
And that was a surprisingly good car. I was not expecting a 500 horsepower Lexus that was responsive, but it's a surprisingly good car.
Yeah. No, and don't you just love Willow though?
I used to race there for years, so it always takes me a couple laps to get back on the wagon, but
once you do, you're good.
You know, and what I was looking for is, you know, which cars did I really find the greatest pace with? And the F type all-wheel drive Jaguar with the carbon brakes.
Oh yeah.
You know, you could dance with 140 miles an hour at the end of the straight coming down into turn one.
Mm.
And that was a phenomenally fast car. And the Alfa Romeo, that little two-seater carbon. The little carbon two-seater with the supercharged four-cylinder.
Yeah.
I think it was the only car I saw triple digits coming up into turn three before the braking area.
Yeah.
Because it's so quick through turn two.
Yeah. Now you could pretty much flat-foot it almost through one and two.
Yeah, there was a few real highlights. And Scott Speed, he showed up later in the day, had a GT, some sort of Volkswagen car, because he was racing in Global Rallycross last weekend at San Pedro at the docks up there in Los Angeles, and won the championship, by the way, for Mike Andretti's Volkswagen team.
Oh, cool.
And so Scott gave me a ride around the streets
Willow.
And he gave me a ride as in, let's try to beat this guy with the NSX, which was some other race car driver.
Okay.
And we actually stretched in this Volkswagen. I guess it was like a Golf with an R on it or something. And we were actually going faster than this Acura NSX.
But that was the new Acura, right?
Yeah. And that was because I was riding with Scott Speed, a former Formula One driver for Toro Rosso. But
right.
It was a great experience. And we got along and he helped me a lot with stories.
Yeah, so he's a great guy. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about your new book. Now, the one you got is what, 5 million pages, the first one?
It was about 550 pages. I thought it was going to be the magnum opus.
And that's what I thought.
This will be the end of it. It's all these amazing stories on how people figured, people as in firsthand stories from the drivers, the engineers, the designers, the people that were on the teams that achieved amazing technological advances.
These are pre-technical enhanced people and cars. I mean, they didn't have CAD computers. They didn't have laptops and things.
Well, a lot of this, the book went from the 50s all the way up to current.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very fortunate. Like, I've got time set aside on Thursday with Pat Simmons of Williams.
Oh, sweet.
Who's the technical director there. And I always get some time with Patty Lowe at Mercedes-Benz. And so I basically ask him a laundry list of things I don't understand.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out how does this work. And he always gets this sly smile. Mm-hmm. And he explains it to me. And then we might talk about when he was in a different position. When he was in Williams, he was in charge of the active suspension program with Nigel Mansell back in the early 90s.
Wow.
And so he will tell me stories about how things really went down 20 years ago that I don't think these stories have ever been told. So a lot of this stuff is very current information, and a lot of it is historical. Bobby Unser helping me the story of the Ferguson Novi car that he drove for Granatelli to Indianapolis. You know, and Sterling Moss, you know, his comments after driving the four-wheel drive Ferguson Formula One car, that it was the best handling car he'd ever driven. And Andy Granatelli heard that and picked up on it and hired Ferguson to build this chassis to house his Novi and had Bobby Unser drive it. So, you know, and Sterling was really surprised when I told him that when his comments were the inspiration.
Sure.
For Andy Granatelli to build that car.
Right.
So there's so many stories that just never saw the light of day.
Well, I am so glad you're doing this because, you know, I've been saying this all along. You know, there was, I was doing a aviation show one time, you know, vintage aviation, you know, and we were starting to get in old pilots, you know, I'm not comparing you to an old pilot, but, and just dragging the stories out of these guys, which, you know, they just, and it's no different than you going to all these races and pulling these stories out of all these different race car drivers and crewmen. And because normally it's a job to them, for them to sit down and think that they got to tell you a story about what they did. That doesn't make any sense. But it's so important that you do this, because if you don't chronicle these stories, nobody else is going to do it.
Exactly. I was very fortunate to do the same type of things with aviation as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Jerry Coleman. I was over at his house one time doing the story because, you know, not a lot of people know he was a Dauntless dive bomber pilot in World War II and then Corsair dive bombers in Korea.
Yeah. I had a gentleman in here and he was in his 80s and I'd gone to Gillespie and flew in a B-17 and it was really a cute story because, you know, his wife was with him, you know, and she'd never been in a plane. So they were, you know, okay, you're next. Well, I ended up being the last guy and he had already gotten on the plane. So I got off the plane. I told her, I says, come on, you can have my seat, you know, because if you, you know, you've never had an opportunity. Oh, you're so sweet. So I told him, I said, I'd like to get you on radio and talk about some of his experiences. Started the plane up. Then I could hear there was like an exhaust pipe that had broken. You can hear the, you know, and I looked at everybody. I says, it's over. We're not going back up. I says, because they won't take this up once they realize what they got. Sure enough, had a cracked exhaust pipe. So it's just one flight. But she got to go up. So I had her in here and her husband, he sat right there and sons and daughters are all sitting there. So he just sat here and started crying. I go, what are you crying for? He says, today's an anniversary of when I was shot down over Germany in a B-17. I go, this is the day? He goes, this is the day. So then we did a whole hour and he told stories, got off air and his wife and his daughter came over and she says, I've never heard any of these stories. In all the years we've been with him, he's never, ever... And that's why I do it, and I think that's why you do what you do.
Yeah, and you know, Bob Hoover is another aviation legend that I worked with, and he was telling me once about how he was shot down by a Focke-Wulf 190A, which is a BMW variant,
right?
And or BMW engine fighter, probably the best one the Germans had until the jet age.
Right.
And when he got put in some prisoner of war camp. Right near the end of the war, him and a buddy escaped, and they stole an FW-190A from a Luftwaffe base, and he flew it to safety in Holland.
Wow.
So he flew to freedom, the same Nazi fighter that shot him down, the same type.
That's crazy. All right, so you're going to the U.S. Grand Prix.
Yep.
And where are you going from there?
I'm thinking I'll probably do the NASCAR race in Phoenix, which is near the end of the season, and then the Los Angeles Auto Show.
All right. Well, that's how I'll probably see you at the Auto Show. All right, folks, that's it. Coming up next, Guns Sports Radio. The whole crew is in. Lance Pelkey, Michael Schwartz, and the Wild Man, Joe. We're not going to tell you what his last name is because he'll kill you. And he's from Gun Range San Diego. So we're going to take a small break, and we come back more right here on KCBQ. Yes, sir.
Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.